It's entitled The Big Betrayal of Decency and Democracy. I realise that the dark decisions taken by the British Parliament respecting Northern Ireland today are not yet binding. Although we are well aware that they shall be if the cartel of wicked men and women who voted in favour of these nefarious schemes today have anything further to do with them. Some elements rose to the fore in our nation's parliament today. One element was hypocrisy. One of the most rank varieties. Political parties have been climbing over each other to wave all kinds of green flags and are trying to outbid each other in their promises to save the planet. And yet, by votes such as these today, they are pursuing legislation that will corrupt our children through the promotion of what is an incredibly unholy and immensely unhealthy lifestyle, and the elimination of the little children trying to come behind them before they even get out of their mother's womb. Perhaps I should mention the way in which the Scottish National Party further dishonoured itself in these votes. This party has made great noises in the past about abstaining on all votes that affect other devolved jurisdictions in order to ring-fence their own issues. But today, there was no such reticence for many of their MPs to vote on these measures today only serves to heighten the degree of hypocrisy within the chamber. However, whether parliamentarians reach totals of 332 or 383, the congregation of hypocrites shall be desolate, and fire shall consume the tabernacles of bribery. But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. God's verdict, Job 15:34, Job 36:13. Another feature of the debates in Parliament today was not only hypocrisy, but perversity. Since the measures passed by Parliament specifically target Ulster, let me respond in true Ulster fashion by calling a spade a spade. Same-sex marriage is perverse. It is a perversion of God's order that marriage should only and always be between one man and one woman in a loyal and lifelong union. Clearly the teaching in Genesis 1:26-27, Genesis 2:24, and cited by our Lord Jesus Christ in Mark 10:6-9. Abortion is perverse. An allegation recently surfaced that on the lead up to the recent Irish referendum on abortion, YouTube, owned as we know by Google, blacklisted a large number of videos on its platform and also interfered with search results. Among the blacklisted phrases were, abortion is barbaric, abortion is wrong, abortion is murdering. If this is correct, my phrase for the purpose of this particular piece would also have been blocked, abortion is perverse. It is not health care, nor is it a woman's right. It is murder. The unjustifiable, unconscionable, sinful slaughter of the innocent. Psalm 139:13-16, Psalm 127 dealing with the same theme, as does Job 31:15 and Psalm 22:10 again in the scriptures. The Wildlife and Countryside Act 1981 dictates that all birds, their nests and eggs are protected by law. And it is thus an offence, with certain exceptions, to intentionally kill, injure, or take any wild bird. Intentionally take, damage, or destroy the nest of any wild bird while it is in use or being built. Intentionally take or destroy the egg of any wild bird. Yet, the legislation proposed for Northern Ireland will permit babies to be killed in their mother's womb with not the slightest risk of penalty from any authority. However, though our government may feel in its moral duty to the nation, God's woe remains upon these behaviours. Isaiah 5 and 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Then we come not only from hypocrisy through perversity, but we arrive at history. Undoubtedly, history was made in Parliament today. Those 15 minutes are the ones that have brought us closer to the vile practitioners of homosexuality in Sodom and Gomorrah and the wicked child killers of Moab and Ammon. I thank God for those who registered their opposition to these assaults on decency and democracy today. HuffPost UK Politics, no friend of biblical principles, noted it was almost all Tory and DUP MPs. And then they proceeded to identify, as though it were a list of shame, when rather it is a list of honour, the 73 MPs who voted against same-sex marriage and 99 against abortion in Northern Ireland. An older link on what is a new BBC News page, abortion and same-sex marriage moves for Northern Ireland, backed by MPs, that older link points to gay rights 50 years on, 10 ways in which the UK has changed. These 10 points form a fresh timeline, indicating the growing acceptance of sodomy by a society that is increasingly turning its back on God. 50 years puts it within my lifetime, not necessarily some of yours. Who could have guessed that society would end up in this moral swamp so quickly? Liberals are fond of pulling in the meaningless statement, on the right side of history. As history goes round in cycles, I often wonder just where that kind of statement leaves us, because it's pretty impossible to get on the right side of it. This, of course, is only yet another crude cudgel used by the opponents of true righteousness to force silence on anyone who speaks from a conscience educated by God's holy word, the Bible. Personally, I don't care about being on the right side of history. Not at all. What I do care about intensely is being on the right side in eternity. It is recorded of our Lord in Matthew 25, verse 32, 33, and also 46, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. No doubt, the so-called emissaries of equality would feel an objection rise within them right here. How dare God be so partial? How dare he discriminate whether they like it or not, God will do as he pleases. He is God, and what he does will always be right. Men may celebrate today as if, in breaking God's laws, they have shaken off all obligations to their Creator and do not need to worry about him being the eventual and eternal judge of their actions. Of course, man imagined this thousands of years ago, as is detailed in Psalm 2, the verse 2 to 5. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." Despite the wicked decisions of men, God is on the throne still, for time and eternity. Some of the men and women in Parliament today may not live to see these abominations imposed on Northern Ireland. I trust I'll not live to see them imposed on our country. But all will be obliged to give an account to God for desecrating his laws today and heaping further misery and judgment on our nation. Meantime, let us continue to pray that God's promise in Isaiah 59:19 will be fulfilled before our eyes. "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him."